Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, including Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to podcasts, and on YouTube. This is the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Sex.
Good afternoon.
Speaking of horrors, Nicole, because I'm still trying to figure out the zoom on my new webcam, I've got like a floating head because my headphones keep disappearing. So watching this on YouTube, apparently I am either the Wizard of Oz or an apparition. I'm not really sure which. Now, Nicole, it's a new year.
Yeah.
A lot of people are making New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of people are trying to manifest their dreams. And I've seen so many posts that everybody thinks 2023, this is the year.
I don't know, man. Why would we think that? My 2022 wasn't terrible for me. I had some bad things happen. Like I had a family accident and I got robbed. But the most of the year was pretty good. So I don't know. Like, I guess I have a lot of stuff I want to do this year, like things I'd like to manifest. But I have no reason to believe this year is going to be special. I think that I'm just going to live this year and do the best I can.
Was this the robbery where you chased the guy down and he had to give you back the purse?
No, that one I got the purse back. No, it was a digital robbery. Someone took money from me.
That one. Well, anyway, Nicole, we're going to find out how to make all of our dreams come true. And it's all within us, but we would need some help. And we got somebody that can help us. We have, she is the founder of BDE, not that BDE, Big Design Energy. She is a coach. She helps people manifest. She's definitely, I'll have her describe herself because she does so many things and she definitely works with the law of attraction and she's manifested an amazing life for herself. And hopefully by the end of this hour, she can help us manifest things for ourselves. It's Marissa Nicole.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here and chat with you two today.
Yes. Welcome to the dark side. And Nicole, thank you, because I think the reason that we have Marissa as a guest is because your name is Nicole, so there was a little bonding there.
I saw that. Yeah. I love it.
She's like, Mark, I don't know. There's a Nicole on the show? Okay. So I know how that goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get started, and I really need to keep up with Marissa's energy. So I have it right here. It just disappeared. Raise energy drink, the best energy drink right here. This is the Baja lime flavor. Tastes just like Baja Blast from Taco Bell.
Fancy.
Oh, it's delicious. Oh, yeah. No, I drink all my energy drinks and snifters. But Raise energy drink is the best energy drink. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I've tried them all. I tried Red Bull. I tried Rockstar, Monster, the Steven Seagal energy drink, the energy drink with horny goat weed. I've tried them all. The one that was shaped like a bomb, I tried that one. This is the best because it has zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. And it has the best flavors, not just Baja Lime. They just came out with ginger ale. They also have voodoo fruit punch flavor. Nicole loves that one. Mm-hmm. And pink bubble gum. They have sour gummy worms, which is better than you think. And the best part of it is, you know, you can go to the store. You can't go to the store because they're not in supermarkets. They're not in 7-Elevens. But Marissa is a power lifter, so she's at gym. So she's probably seen him at the gym.
Yeah.
Or GNCs or vitamin shops. Well, why pay full price? Use the code we have in the description on your podcast catcher or YouTube, and you will get 15% off a case of Raise. 15% off a case of Raise, and they ship really promptly and nice, colorful. You could do an unboxing video. It's great. So go get your Raise energy drink. And as I said, zero carbs, zero calories, zero crash, all flavor, all energy. Also, speaking of energy, you want to get energy in a different way. Guys in the bedroom, we are also sponsored by Eddie by Giddy, which is a device that will help you get blood flow where you need it the most. So there's a description down there where you can get 20% off Eddie by Giddy. Some people use it once. It works. That's it. That's all they needed. They got the blood flow going. Some people use it every time, but satisfy whoever you're with in the new year. Valentine's Day is coming up. It makes a great gift. Marissa, let me segue from, erections to you.
I'm very commonly linked with erections, so it's totally normal.
Well, that's where I got to start because you, took Big Dick Energy, which is a thing that's out there, and recontextualized it for women and manifesting what you want and getting all you want out of life.
Yeah. So the design in Big Design Energy is about human design. It's the science of differentiation. I'm not sure if either one of you have heard of human design before. Super cool. You can go into a bunch of mind spirals and get lost for hours. Or at its core, it's simply about being present in the now and not letting your mind take you on those spirals. Because the mind has no clue what you're doing, where you're going, what you should be doing.
So big vagina energy never was a thought, you know, you could call it that.
You know, I used to have a license plate that said femme power, and everyone always said I should have said pussy power, but I try and keep it at least a little, like my grandma could see it and be okay with it.
Right,
like,
right,
you know,
right.
A little bit of that, but like, right. If you know, you know. So
exactly. and by the way, this leads me to my first question. Since I'm a man, I guess I'm out. I can't have big design energy, huh?
No, you can. I just generally work with women over men because I will like be interviewing guys to work with at previous jobs and like, oh, wow, that's, you look so beautiful. What a beautiful sweater. I'm like, I'm freezing and it's 7 a.m. and what are you? Why are you? What is this?
You know what that is.
Yeah. So.
We were just talking about somebody that was like that. We have somebody that is very aggressive with women like that. And he thinks that he could take every no and turn it into a yes. So that's what these guys were doing for you. But you've always lived in Arizona?
I have, born and raised. It was a total love story how my parents ended up here.
Oh,
my mom, born in Argentina.
Okay.
Traveled around. Her stepdad told my grandma, anywhere in the world you want to live, she said, Dallas, Texas. So that's where they went. My dad was a sportscaster all around. The day he had flown back from Phoenix to Dallas and accepted the job in Phoenix, went on a blind date with my mom. 2 weeks later, moved to Phoenix. They dated long distance for several years. And then here I am.
That's a great love story.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the Cowboys won the other day, I think. And
yes.
So that's amazing. So, and you have your own love story.
Yeah.
Nicole.
Married recently.
Yes. Congratulations. Marissa, because we're going to get into our love challenges and how you might make them.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Trust me, there's a lot of challenges, but Marissa manifested her love story.
That's wonderful.
And it includes bodybuilding and powerlifting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was going to this really, I don't want to say really gross gym, but it's more of like a guy's gym to where there was a sign in the restroom saying, don't shoot steroids in here. No more needles. Like go home or just do it anywhere else but here.
So it wasn't Planet Fitness then?
It wasn't Planet Fitness. It was where, you know, the good machines are that you want to use and the material or the equipment that powerlifters, which is what I was doing, want to have access to. But definitely not cute and spa and luxurious. Met him there, tried to ask my trainer, who is that guy? And he said, first he kept giving me like guys in their mid to late 40s. And I'm like, no. Oh, him? He's like 18. I'm not going to tell you. He wasn't. And I did my, you know, woman sleuthing and I found him and followed him, liked 7 of his photos, like put a few comments on there just to say, hey,
you slid into his DMs.
Yeah.
And this was the biggest guy at the gym, Nicole.
Yeah.
Marissa has completely different tastes than you. Nicole likes the skinny pretty boys. And your man is a big oak of a guy. He was training for a bodybuilding competition.
Yeah. That was his skinniest at 275. So,
Whoa, that is a big boy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can get up there and weigh myself. I'm, you know, I fluctuate, and with working out and lifting, I can lift a little bit more than the average woman. So I don't want my bench press to be anywhere near my partner's bench press. That's the kind of the mindset I was in at the time. And safe to say, yeah, it's not anywhere near his. So
what is his bench press?
You know, he's got so many injuries that he doesn't really do one rep max anymore, but like bench, I mean, he's doing 315 for 10. He'll shoulder press 225 for 10 to 12. So just kind of insane numbers where he'll leave and then other guys will come up to me at the gym and be like, what? Did he really just do that? Yeah, he did.
But when you were powerlifting, women had the same reaction about you.
Yeah, I get the same reaction. Luckily, there's a lot more women lifting heavy nowadays. So I see them out doing it, which it's nice to not be the only woman bench pressing or squatting or deadlifting.
Well, how did you get into the powerlifting, which is a whole different thing than the bodybuilding?
Yeah, it's powerlifting is three exercises: squat, bench, and deadlift. And so you can do three attempts at each of those lifts when you compete, and there's different rules, different regulations, like how low your squat has to be, or arching, like lifting your head up while you bench, all these little nuances. But it really is just about moving the most amount of weight within whatever regulations you have to. And so things aren't pretty. Like, people talk a lot of shit. It's like the joke is fat power lifter. Because I guess the bulking makes you stronger? Question mark. But how I got into it, I was just training with a personal trainer, and there was a deadlift bar, I think, set to around 200. And I was just like, that looks fun. I want to go lift that up. And they said, go do it. And I went and I did, and it was easy. And then it kind of just spiraled from there to what I could do.
You were natural.
And I'm not even remotely close to any of that. Back when I was in high school, I could bench press 150. That was the most I ever did in my life.
That's okay. Yeah. I mean, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No, 150 for a girl. I mean, like, I don't really go over 150 now. I don't know what my max is, but yeah, that's really good. So
that was the best I could do. Now I'm just like working with the kettlebell that Mark got me for Christmas and my little 5 pound weights.
although I do like that the two Nicoles are trying to outdo each other with weightlifting. They're trying to break.
I bench
150. No, I bench 150.
I could at one time. This
I know this, and a little scratching. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. That's okay. Nicole is as good looking as your man is and as great a shape as he is, too much man for Nicole. There's no question about
way
that.
Way too much.
Yeah. So you have nothing to fear. But if you have any twinkie kind of guys that are real pretty, then send them Nicole's way. Now, was he younger than you?
Yeah, he is 3.5 years to the day, actually, younger than me. Yeah, so
nothing wrong with that.
That's
that's totally age appropriate.
Yeah,
I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the aggressor in certain situations, as we've established, the pursuer. So I guess I like the little power dynamic of at least the age difference for me. But then, like I said, you know, his strength and everything else kind of he has that end. But I tell him, hey, there's some Latina in me. So if I need to hit you over the head with a frying pan, I don't want to. But if I have to defend myself,
right,
I will.
Well, hopefully it'll never come to that. I'm sure I'm sure he's a gentle giant, and he wouldn't mess with you. But yeah,
he is. He's a very gentle giant.
But trust me, I've dated Latina women, and you always try to steer them away from the knives. But that's just kind of one of those things. So anyway,
I like to say you're not Italian if you haven't thrown a shoe.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about being Italian, but you just want to hit someone with that shoe.
Get after it. Yeah.
Right. Now, Nicole, this is a great story, because Marissa has manifested this life and actually this appearance on this podcast in that she was working. Apparently you're an overachiever. You were like a straight A student, you graduated college early, and you were in a job, you're making great money, and you weren't happy.
I wasn't happy. I was in the accounting department, so
well, that's numbers. Well said.
Yeah, if it's not like 11-11, I don't want to do it. So they kept putting me back in there. I kept leaving. And the last position I accepted was a huge raise, huge promotion in the accounting department. And surprise, I made the wrong choice by accepting that, which was made very clear when about 3 months later, I was fired from that position. But I was ecstatic instantly. Like there was a tiny part of me that was like, I've never been fired and I've like, I'm a good person. What has happened? You know, just this little whatever, but I was happy that I was out of there and I got severance. So that kind of started a lot of the self exploration journey of my own.
So you were laid off. You weren't fired.
I don't know. What's the difference?
Severance.
Severance. Yeah. I don't know. I know they didn't give everyone it, but because it wasn't my fault, but you know, neither here nor there.
And that's so. What I'm saying. When you're fired, they don't give you severance.
Okay.
No, I got laid off last year, and it was once again, that was a, for me, it was probably the best thing that happened to me because I got severance. Mm-hmm. I took a year off and I was able to get on a weight training program and devote time to that and lose weight. And I'm doing a lot better. So it did work out for me. Otherwise, I'd still be on that grind and just, you know, not doing so well. But you, went to that, you're like, okay, I'm going to start now. How did you get your own business? How did this happen?
Well,
how did you get the idea?
Yeah, I always kind of wanted my own business, played around with that because I am capable. I know what I want. I know how to get it done. I can probably do it better and quicker than you. So why don't I just do it myself? That was my mindset. So I'm like, let me just do my own business. I don't want anyone else telling me what to do. I don't want anyone else controlling. I left a very controlling, traditional regimen corporate job. And so I wanted like complete 180, complete opposite of that, freedom, flexibility, like all of these options. And so I started with advertising. I was like, this is logical. I had all of these reasons and it was all logical and it made sense and it's what I should do. And then I found myself again doing something that I didn't want to do for someone else. Now it's just my own business. And I'm like, well, okay. So then that steered me into the more illogical side and the, I guess, woo, if you want to call it, the mystical, the spiritual, the whatever. But no accounting, no logic here.
Well, we love to talk about the spiritual. And it just, I mean, I don't want to say anything, but it sounds like you have a problem with authority, which is fine.
Yeah. I mean,
nobody tells you what to do. Nobody puts Marissa in a corner. Nobody tells
her. That is very obvious. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's like, I kind of like to say like.
Including your 350-pound bodybuilder boyfriend, husband.
Like, no, you can't tell me what to do. Yeah. No. Yeah. And it's very interesting. You say that within human design, there's a lot of different subsets. And I have a lot of different parts of that, that like my path in life is to essentially come in, challenge authority, say, why are we still doing this? Like, the place I worked at didn't even have a way to pay for services online. I'm like,
what?
Yeah. Like people had to call and then no, like they had to call to pay, but I'm like, if I had to call to pay somewhere, I wouldn't do it. And they're not going to be sending them to court. So then they would just write off all this. I'm like, why don't we just put a little form you could fill out. Well, no, the guys up top, they're old school and they don't want to do it. Okay. Right. So yeah, not that I necessarily have a problem with authority, but my human can see where things are being led astray and maybe not necessarily done for the most benevolent reasons, reasons benefiting the community as of a whole versus, you know, material personal gain.
Sure. No, I get that. But it was, I mean, like I said, it was glad that you got laid off. I actually think more for your boss than you, because your boss was ready. If he messed with you any longer, he was gonna get
the frying pan.
He was gonna get deadlifted. That's what was gonna happen. But you've always indulged in your spiritual side.
Yeah, my father was very spiritual growing up. My mom was religious, so I kind of got a taste of both. And I went through phases where I minored in philosophy in college, mm-hmm. and I was one of like three people who raised their hand when they asked if you believe in God. And then everyone was like, you are stupid. Why would you believe in anything? Nothing happens after you die. This is all fake, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you clearly didn't go to Catholic school.
Yeah, no, I went to ASU. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Very educational and very professional.
Isn't their mascot the Devils?
Yeah, Sun Devils.
I can't imagine thinking that nothing happens after you die. Like, I can't imagine not believing the existence of the human soul when it is so obvious that we have souls.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a curse of being super, super intellectual.
Yeah.
I feel like the people who are very smart and like very logical are like, well, that just doesn't make sense. Where does the soul come from? How does 1 + 1 = 5? That doesn't make sense.
Well, it's not tangible.
Yeah.
It's not tangible. You can't say, okay, here's a soul and we can study it. We can touch it. It's ethereal. So nobody really knows. Go ahead, Nicole. You were going to say something?
I was going to say, well, I believe that if the soul had to, by argument's sake, the soul had to come from somewhere, so it should go somewhere when it dies. Like that's just logic to me. But I also grew up a spiritual person who was raised religiously, and I don't believe in hell. Like I don't want to like have a debate about it or anything. I personally don't believe in hell. I still believe that there's a place where the soul goes after you die. Like, I believe that it came from somewhere and it returns to somewhere. And maybe we live this experience 100 times until we get it right. I don't know the answers. I don't know which religion's correct, but I know I have a soul. I know that I can connect with that soul when I'm manifesting or when I'm deep in meditation. I can connect to that inner spiritual person that's within me and that consciousness, and I can use that to create a better life.
Yeah, that was very beautifully put, I have to say. And what I do is, like, taking that, but applying it to every moment. So the now. So the mind creates a limitation that you have to be deep in meditation, that you have to be focusing your awareness on manifesting whatever. When in reality, the only thing that's real is the present moment. And so often we're distracted by our phones, by what we have to do tomorrow, by what I said 3 years ago to someone I don't even talk to anymore. Walking out to your car, walking outside, do you hear the birds? Do you hear the sound of traffic? Do you notice like that the leaves are changing? It's just the awareness on the present moment. That is what connects you to that higher consciousness.
Well, we live in Los Angeles, so we hear a lot of sirens and helicopters. Yeah. But yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. And so this is where we want to get into, because I want to see. Nicole will tell you, I have problems with this. Mm-hmm. I believe in the law of attraction. I believe in manifestation. I've seen it, and it's worked for me, and it's worked for other people. However, I personally have, I mean, let's just say take New Year's resolutions, for example. Since this is the new year, everybody's like, and I remember probably the biggest year for New Year's resolutions and optimism and great thoughts and great stuff put out in the universe was 2020. Everybody in 2020 is like, this is my year. This is it. I'm going to make this the best year. I got so many plans. I'm going to make everything happen. March, pandemic, and it just went to shit. But I mean, that obviously that's an anomaly, but this happens every year. Everybody's like, here's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And then, you know, right now it's the 17th, and this is when all the resolutions are falling off.
Yeah, I definitely think they're bullshit.
But mine was easy. Oh, I'm sorry, I talked over you. What were you saying?
I just said I think New Year's resolutions are bullshit because of that, most people doing that.
Yeah.
This is what
I just said. I was going to eat more veggies, and I've been doing a good job of that. I'm down 3 pounds so far this year, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll check back on you in a month. We'll see how it goes. But Marissa,
I got to keep eating more veggies.
What's your favorite veggie, Nicole?
Eggplant or asparagus.
Okay. It took her a while. Anyway, Marissa, now, this is what I love about you is that you have such a potty mouth. And when I was listening to your podcast, I was thinking I would be listening to wind chimes and ohms and all sorts of spiritual stuff. But you're swearing like a sailor. I love it. I can relate to it.
Yeah. I mean, I was a full-blooded human making mistakes, doing all the wrong things, swearing and
having fun. Not that profanity is a mistake, but
yeah, it was. But it wasn't like all buttoned up or doing sage all over the house all the time.
Right. But you have done sage.
Yeah. And my husband hates it. He's like, really? What the fuck is going on?
Well, you need to give him like a big, you know, you need to order like a tree trunk full of sage and have him lift it, and then he'll appreciate it. But
maybe,
yeah, something like that. But but as far as manifesting, and Nicole will say, you know, like I said, last year I had all year, and you know, it's just I have goals, I have dreams, and I have visions of me achieving these dreams, but something, you know, I mean, life just keeps getting in the way. What am I doing? And Nicole will tell you, there were a couple of dark points in the last year where I was just like, I just couldn't get the negative thoughts out of my head.
It's true. They were overwhelming him and I couldn't say anything to make them better.
Well, you said some things that you thought were positive and they just,
I just turned around and made it worse. I know.
Yeah. I mean, they honestly were quite patronizing and just made me feel worse.
Yeah. And I personally have never experienced that. I know people who have gone through that. Ultimately, everything is just about acceptance and neutrality. And so if you are very upset, very depressed about your body, your weight, your financial situation, your job, nothing is good or bad. Everything just simply is. And so you could say that in a variety of ways. Everything is perfect, or just a total acceptance of everything. And mm-hmm. Of course, that's easier said than done, because when you follow the mind, then you keep having these thoughts, having these feelings come up. But the only thing you need to do with them is observe them. And you don't want to judge yourself. You don't want to then add more guilt on top of it or fear or worry, because then it just compounds and melds into this huge thing that takes over your life and your mind.
Is there a technique that you have that can help with that?
It really just being present in the now. And I wanted to say something like how you said everyone in 2020 was like, this is going to be the best year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do all these things.
There's so many great, plans. Great vibes put into the world.
Yeah. And then COVID happened. So plans change. No one knew it was going to happen, but it was supposed to happen. But that is just a very, very grand scale example of this existence on Earth. Like, there is a story that's written, and nothing you do is going to change that story. The only thing you can do to change the story is to be present in the moment, because the only thing that exists is now. So when you have all these goals and plans, okay, sure, that's fine. You may get them, you may not. But I mean, it's like the kind of one of the core teachings of manifestation, right? Is if I want a new car, because when I get a new car, I'm going to feel amazing and like this hot stud driving around, whatever. But you need to feel like the hot stud before you get the car.
There was a great line I read on some sort of like social media platform where it says, you don't get what you want, You don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. So that means that if you want to attract something different, you have to become something that's in alignment with what you're trying to attract.
Yes. And if you are, the emotions and everything behind it, like a great thing that I've used to play with this is sports. Cause like, I don't give a shit about football and I don't really care what happens. And this is the first year that I've actually started watching it. But, you know, I grew up in Arizona, so yeah, go Cardinals. My mom has the Cowboys and my husband likes the Lions. But ultimately, I don't care who wins or who loses.
Well, that makes three of us.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, and I'm going to, I put this out there. People misunderstood me when I put this on Facebook. The Bills will win the Super Bowl. And I know nothing about football. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
That's the only way the NFL could save face and put a positive spin on that guy passing out of the game or having a heart attack at the game.
Yeah.
Is to have them overcome. And then that's a big inspirational story.
Yeah.
And everybody,
it's a good possibility. Definitely.
And I put that on Facebook and people were like, no, go Bengals or whatever team they like. Go Chiefs. Yeah. I'm like, no, you don't get this. And the other thing is that the guy who played Elvis is going to win the Oscar because unfortunately Lisa Marie passed away and that makes it a feel good story. So all the whole thing is rigged. How do we rig it is what I'm saying.
How you rig it is you have zero attachment. So like when my mom and my dad watch Cardinals or even Phoenix Suns, you know, football, whatever, they will scream and they will have so much passion and they will be reacting to everything.
No offense to your parents. I hate that shit, but go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do too. I'm like, when I'm there, I'm like, let's not do this.
Oh God. But if I'm in a like, bar and people are like, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't stand it. Go ahead. I just screamed to your ear.
It's the neutrality of it. Like for me, I'm indifferent. I have no weight attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why, one week I was randomly like, I don't know. I just feel like the Arizona defense is going to score a touchdown. And then the next day I was actually at my parents' house watching the game. And I had told my husband and my parents prior and they went and they did it. And so the next weekend I was like, did I manifest the defense scoring? So I'm just cleaning the house, whatever. The Lions are playing. And I'm like, wouldn't it be interesting if the defense scored a touchdown right here? And I walked out of the living room, went to the back of the house vacuuming. And I hear, they did it. They scored. Literally within like a minute or two, the defense scored. But in my mind, I had pictured like this huge long run across the field doing their little thing, but they were right in front of the goal, the end zone, and they just went in and got a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I wasn't attached to it didn't create any resistance and didn't create any like disconnect on the frequency. I was neutral about it and them scoring was neutral. So we were able to meld.
So now your husband's like, can you do that for every Lions game? So they win every game. Yes.
The other day I was like, yeah, maybe I should just be a sports better picker, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you know, you can get good odds for like a defense scoring a touchdown in Vegas, but
yeah,
anyway, I don't want to, I didn't think that, I thought the last thing we'd be talking about is sports. So I want to get off that, but
yeah,
I was going to say my ex-girlfriend was a witch, and she was able to do things. She found bodies for police. But one time I was doing a comedy show, and it was pouring rain. And she called me before, you know, it was during the day. She's like, do you want me to change the weather? And I said, no, that's okay. And then she got to my house, and this was like pouring rain like we just had in California, like you know, flooding the streets. The rain stopped. We drove to Santa Monica from Tarzana. It took about 15 minutes, the easiest drive I've ever had. And then once we got there and parked, it started raining again. And then she told me, it was only six people showed up. It was fine. You know, I you know, when I saw the rain, I didn't think it was going to be a big, big crowd. And then she's like, I'm sorry. I know you said not to change the weather, but I did.
Yeah, I believe it. You can do like, this reality is not real. Like you shouldn't take feedback from reality. And so
Where should you take feedback from? This is where I need. This is what I need. I keep taking feedback from reality, and it's not serving me well.
I know, and so that's why if you make, like, I make like the little bets on sports, not sports, whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about sports, but
oh, we can. It's
fine. You know, I was like, I had some really good ones where I'm like, I don't know what's going on in baseball, and I boom, 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 I made a few $100. Okay, cool. Then I made like, you know, 50 bets, and I lost all of them. A logical person might say, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I have a problem. Maybe whatever. And I'm like, hey, this is fun. And I don't really care, because is winning $100 going to change my life? I'm not betting a lot. I win some, I lose some. It's what I win a lot of the bets I win are the ones where my husband, who knows stuff, says I'm crazy for betting it. And that's just the sheer will. But my point being is I will still do it regardless if I win, regardless if I lose, because this is fake. None of this is real. None of this matters.
But are the bets you're losing the ones that you actually like, you get on a roll and you're like, oh, this would be nice if, you know, that's when you start getting stock in that. You start attaching yourself to that outcome.
Yeah, I guess if you get too attached to it, then you can. Sometimes I do like the really crazy underdog things just because I'm like, wouldn't it be crazy? But you know, everything can't be crazy. I guess if it was, then it wouldn't be crazy anymore. But the feedback only needs to be like where you are right now. Are you in your mind? Or are you in that higher being, your higher consciousness, your awareness? And you just have to have, it's really just like blind faith, blind trust, surrender. Which, if you've listened to what I've been saying, how I like to control and do everything myself, has been a very difficult lesson for me to learn.
No, I've listened to a lot of your podcasts. I was actually listening. One thing is, I was listening to your podcast, which, you know, which I recommend everybody listen to. Mm-hmm. And I did notice that, because I was listening to the older episodes, and I noticed that you had a logo change, which it's a lot better now. It's brighter.
Yeah. But I'm probably going to change it again here soon. And I might even change the name. I don't know.
It was good before, but it's better now, but, and funny you should say that. I was trying to get a new logo for our show. You know, I like my logo. Mm-hmm. And then I went on Fiverr, and they spit out something that I could have just done myself on Canva, but what are you going to do anyway? So it did, you know, that's $5 down the drain. What are you going to do? But I listened to a couple more recent episodes, and you didn't seem quite as enthusiastic.
Yeah. And it's not that I'm not enthusiastic.
You seemed a little tired.
When I'm in the being, in fully in the awareness, like the word I like to describe it is groggy. Like I feel tired.
Right.
I feel like I'm just woke up from a nap. I'm chill. There's nowhere to be. There's no rush. I'm going to get wherever I need to go, whenever I need to be there. And I'm going to get whatever done whenever it needs to be done.
Well, maybe relaxed is the right word, because the first few episodes were like, hi, it's Marissa. This is Big Designer. Like, I'm so busy. Yeah. Yeah. And then now it's like, I heard to the gratitude one. It's like, all right, well, this is how you be grateful. And this is what it does for me. And you were a little groggy.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. Do you think it's because you're in a different brainwave state?
Maybe, yeah. I'm definitely not following the mind. So like following the mind is if I'm sitting here on my laptop and then my phone vibrates and I have a text from someone, and then I go, oh, I probably should get back to them. And that reminds me, I need to send an email to someone else. And I was going to pay this bill, and I was going to set up this appointment, and then all of these things come up, not doing them. Like it's a lot of not doing, because I trust when it's supposed to get done, it will get done. And so especially like while you're meditating or while you're just relaxing, whatever you're doing. Like if you get something related to business or I don't know, whatever is gonna annoy you, like something you don't want to deal with, just because you get a notification on your phone doesn't mean your awareness has to shift to that and do that there. And it sounds simple, but it's very hard when you're, I feel like we're so trained now to react and respond and want instant gratification.
That's what I'm saying. That's the world we live in today.
Yeah. So taking it back, slowing it down, I'm just aware.
I will have you know my phone is off right now.
Do not disturb. I'm on that very often.
No, I literally shut it off. If somebody wants to get a hold of me, they're going to have to wait until after I talk to Marissa. And I can do that, but I'm older than you. So I remember back then. I remember the flip phones. I remember the bricks. I mean, I remember when there was nothing on the phone, and now you can't. So how do you get, I mean, this is good for anybody now, you know, how do you get all of that information and the information overload that we have? How do you get that out of your head so you can concentrate and you can manifest the best life for yourself?
It's in the beginning, it's definitely helpful to dedicate time to just, it doesn't necessarily need to be meditating, but that would probably be like the closest way to describe it. But basically just sitting and being in, when you hear the siren, that is just anchoring you in the fact that you are existing and there's a siren. You are aware of the siren. You are aware that you are aware of the siren, and being okay with having a bunch of thoughts come. Because in the beginning, you're going to get still all of the thoughts. But it's even like if a song starts to go in your head, like just cutting it off, whether it's a song, a thought, whatever, just not continuing it and just observing like, okay, of all of the thoughts I could have had at this moment in time, this was the thought that came up. Interesting. Neither good, neither bad. I'm neutral about it. And rinse, repeat. 1,000 times over, and slowly but surely incorporating into your day, I am aware that I'm aware that I'm folding clothes while I'm doing laundry. I'm aware that I'm doing dishes. It's the connection. So you're not mindlessly doing things. I mean, it's like, you know, how many times you drive somewhere and then you're like, wait, how did I even get home? I wasn't paying attention to the whole drive. Like, I was there, then now I'm here.
Really? That happens to you?
Yeah. Not in California traffic, but when you're just going. I was gonna
say, maybe in Arizona that will happen, but I don't know. Now, how did you come up with the big design energy, and how does it differ from other, say, other coaching, other life coaching and that type of thing? What makes yours the best? Let's be honest, it is. So what makes Big Design Energy?
I just was trying to think of a name and I heard Big Dick Energy and then Human Design and I'm like, DD, okay, there we go. Yeah,
right.
Easy peasy. Shows a little bit of my personality to where I'm not the buttoned up whatever.
Right. By the way, I have average but thick design energy myself, but go ahead.
Now, that would be a lot of acronyms, I think. Yeah, that's probably best you chose your original.
That's too many letters. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I know the people that work with me, that want to work with me, they don't necessarily have like a full explanation. It's just there's something about her. Like, I don't know what it is. Just being in her energy, it doesn't even matter. And that's what the whole being is. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. Because if behind you are, then you can only attract like the best path and the best people and the best situations and the best opportunities to get you to that path. So what makes me better? I'm not going to say, here's 7 strategies to manifest your dream life. I have old podcast episodes about that. If you want to fall into that trap, do it, whatever. But I'm not going to say you need a funnel. You need to, you know, you need to journal every day for 3 hours. You need to do whatever. I'm not going to tell you what to do. It's an experience, and there's no one size fits all. And at the same time, I'm teaching the exact same thing to every person, but it's completely different each time, because whatever they need to become aware of, they will become aware of, and it's completely different for each person. We're not like drudging, like, how was your childhood? Were you abused? Have you been in an abusive relationship? Have you whatever? We're not drudging up the big, meaty, you know, stuff. It's,
well, what are you drudging up?
It's like literally what's going on for you right now? Like, what happened today? Like, what made you, what got a reaction out of you today?
All right.
Do you believe in like outside help, like guides, like spirits or angels or ancestors?
You know, I did ancestral healing. I've worked with the guides before, but as of now, for me, I don't need that. And so I think for each person, based on really what their goal of coming to Earth was and what their story is really, and how ready they are to be spiritual, there's so many different things, and that can be completely true for one person and not true for another person. But for me, I found that it was kind of like a permission slip. So I have to do my morning meditation, and I do this, then I do this, then I do the sage, then I, you know, whatever. And then I connect with my guides. And then that's how I'm spiritual. Like how you said in the beginning, like when I'm meditating, when I'm manifesting, then I feel that connection. But outside of that, not so much. But why does there need to be a time when you're not? There doesn't. And so it's pushing past the limitations that your mind has set for you, because at the end of the day, whatever vision, I've had a couple visions, I've seen some things, I've done guided meditations and seen things, that was a representation, a recreation of my mind. And so, like, if someone wants to astral project, it's going to look different for one person than it is to the other. But if they want to astral project to gain higher consciousness, to become more spiritual, to feel more connected to, you know, something beyond this earth, then that astral projection is a permission slip, is their excuse, is their whatever to get them that experience. And so I'm so grateful for all of the different experiences, because it's kind of built upon each other and one by one opened my eyes to where I am now. Because it's kind of hard to just come at someone and be like, you have no free will. It does not matter what you do. You just have to be, and not even like be happy. Just be and be neutral. And observe, like, you literally don't have to say anything. You literally don't have to do anything.
You kind of sound like a politician. I got to
be honest. Just observe your life.
You have no free will. You don't have to be good, happy or sad. And we're going to take care of everything for you. Nicole, have you astral protected?
No.
You should. But do you, when you meditate, do you have a mantra?
No, not anymore.
Because I meditate. Yeah, I meditate, and I should do, you know, every day, which I don't, but I meditate, and But I've always been curious about like TM, because I hear people just it really frees people up. But I guess they have a mantra, and I don't want to pay a guy $1,000 to get a mantra. But I was just curious if you had one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the closest thing to a mantra that I do, it's that I remind myself, is literally like, I'll be like, I don't know, something will happen and I'll be like annoyed or whatever. And then I go, none of this is real. None of this matters. And so once again, if you are in a very depressive state, maybe not the mantra for you, but once again, it's up for interpretation. I am totally fine with that, because on the flip side, like the exact opposite is true. Like everything matters. Nothing matters and everything matters. So it's just up. That's where we humans get our emotions and our feelings, and we'll be devastated, you know, if our best friend, our husband, our parents die. But then, you know, someone dies in a different continent over there. Okay. I mean, that's sad, but whatever.
Well, Nicole, do you believe in the law of attraction? You know, it used to be a secret.
Yeah, I believe, what I was saying earlier, which is you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. I believe in getting into alignment with the universe, and then things will come to you. Like, I mean, I can use myself as an example. I mean, you know, I went through that really rough time where I had a nervous breakdown and I lost everything. And then suddenly, like, I got like this great apartment, and then like, I got like my cat back. And like, my guides asked me, what would make you happy? And I thought about it when I was in the middle of my nervous breakdown. I really thought about what I needed. And I was like, I need an apartment. Like, I need something I can afford that's reasonable, that I can take care of. And I'm like, if I just had that one thing figured out, the rest of it would come together. And I mean, that's kind of what happened. And I'm back on track. I'm stronger than I was before, because I know more about myself and what I actually want versus what society tells me I need. That's another thing. A lot of what our desires are just things society tells us we have to have. But I've been living contrary to society for the last 3 years. And so I know what I want to do. And I know what's the difference between what I want and what society wants.
Right. I've been living contrary to society my whole life. But, you know, Nicole, you sold yourself short, because you could ask for $20,000, because Marissa did that twice and it happened.
That's great. Yeah,
those are fun. But you made a really good point about how most of the desires are stuff we think we should do or want or whatever. And it is true, because every desire really is fear-based. Like, I want the nice house because I want people to think that I can afford the nice house and think that I'm this type of person. Or I want, you know, I don't know, a boob job so people think I have big boobs. I want a nice car, so whatever. It's just this outward thing. And that's amazing that you were able to get to know yourself better when that. Yeah, I feel like.
Well, Mark, don't you feel after this year, even though it didn't go the way you wanted, you got to get in touch with more of what you wanted personally? Because you lived off the grid this last year. You did what I did.
Sort of. I'm still kind of on the grid, but I mean, I wasn't working. That's the thing. I mean, I've always known what I wanted. And I've visualized what I wanted, but I've never achieved what I wanted.
But you're attached to it then. So you have to be unattached.
Well, I'm attached to it because I'm a comedian. That's my identity. And and I've always said since I started, you can shake your head no, but I'm funny. But anyway, the whole thing is, since I started, I've said, and people think I'm nuts, because a lot of people that do comedy are not doing it to be comedians. They're doing it to become big stars or famous or rich or whatever they think they have to do. I've always done it because, to me, there's nothing more joyous than going in front of an audience full of strangers and making them laugh and laugh loud. And I've always said that if I can make a living, if I can make $40,000 a year, sustain myself just doing comedy, I would be a success. And I've come close, but I've never quite done it. Same thing with the podcast. If I can, if I could sustain myself just doing comedy and my podcast and have a following with those two, And that's the reason I started the podcast. I would be successful. I don't need to be a millionaire. I just need to be able to pay all my bills doing this. That's my goal. That's always been my goal.
So what happens if you don't pay your bills?
Then I'm homeless and I can't do comedy and I can't do my podcast.
So you couldn't make people laugh if you were homeless?
I don't think so, because, you know, I would be, I don't think so. I mean, I guess I could be the funniest homeless guy, but that's not my goal. My goal is to be able to sustain myself and be a comedian, and that's what it is. I like that I'm manifesting a homeless life. That's good. But
she's on the right page. Like, if you could make your life simpler so that you would need less, then you could align with the comedy.
I'm in a fucking studio apartment. How much less can I be?
Well, it's all those things. Like, you are so attached to your identity as a comedian. Right. And that's a problem.
Well, at this point, and it's funny because I've people have told me, they're like, why don't you get another job and just kind of, you know, let it go, because everybody's doing comedy. And, you know, it's just right now I'm pot committed.
Yeah. And I'm not even telling you to not do it or whatever. I'm just saying, what if there's endless possibilities. What if you found another job that you enjoyed that paid you, and then you could still do comedy? Like, what if you could get your boxes checked, you know, and still do it?
I've had a job, and people didn't know I had a job, but I was doing comedy. I was doing podcasts. I just started a new job this year, and it seems to be working out.
Yeah.
And it seems to be actually going to be pretty lucrative.
Well, that's great. One of the major takeaways I had from the beginning of 2022 to the beginning of 2023 was the attachments, and I like to call it like the I am. And so before I would say, you know, I'm a woman, I'm a wife, I'm a daughter, I'm blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. I'm Argentine, I'm a power lifter. But now I am. Like, my world is not going to be influenced or controlled or changed if I can't lift weights. I've had a serious back injuries to where then they'll flare up where I can't lift. I, you know, will be on my way to the gym, sit in the parking lot, cry before I go into the gym, and then basically do nothing and then leave and cry. Like,
that sounds like my gym experience.
Yeah. Once, just again, that releasing of the emotionality behind it. And even with Human Design, I was so into it in the beginning. And then there was a point where, like, maybe this is all bullshit and maybe I don't need this. And maybe I just wasted this whole past year because I have a whole business and podcast around it. But once I said that, literally within 2 days, I saw something that got back to the core of it. And I was like, okay, I do enjoy this. My point being is, being so wrapped up in the labels that we give ourselves, that could be where the friction comes in. So, like, what if you never made it as like a comedian that could just pay your bills from comedy?
Well, that's the life I've been living. So I, you know, it's fine, but I'm just saying, you took a chance on yourself and you started a human design company, and that's something that is your passion. That's what you love to do. That's what you're good at. Me, I'm a comedian. I'm good at it. There's nothing I like better than doing that.
Yeah.
And I will make it on my own terms, but I don't know when.
This is just giving a lot of energy of, I will make it on my own terms. I don't know how, I don't know when. And so you're going to keep attracting the, I will make it my way, but I don't know how, but I don't know when.
And how should I be attracting it?
Just like
I don't mean to get so deep with you. I know. I'm sorry. No. I know you were expecting such a frivolous, funny show, but I'm just trying to.
It really is just, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of layers that are attached to this desire of yours. Ultimately, all of our human desires come from like a place of fear and survival, right? Because like if you said, if you can't pay your bills, then you're homeless. Mm-hmm. And if you're homeless, you don't have a place to sleep that's safe. Right. You're not safe. You don't have a secure influx of food. So you could starve and you could die. You could be killed by someone because you know we're safe. You could die from hunger, whatever. Either way, you're dead. Boom. Mm-hmm. So it like everything goes down to the.
But I would still be funny. Here. I would still be funny though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a comedian, but I also am a comedian. So mm-hmm. that's a fact for you.
Everybody's a fucking comedian these days. But anyway.
I mean, Mark, what I had to do, I quit college because I believed in myself enough to believe I would be a good writer. And I am a good writer, but it's not just us in the manifesting. It's the world. We're literally pushing our art against the world and everything that goes with it, the politics, the expectations, everything that comes from the world has to give us permission to be successful because they have to give us money for it. So
this is what I'm saying. Well, you know, you can manifest money.
I could be a successful writer because I am a successful writer. I mean, according to Google anyway, or whoever, I get projects. I know that when I write it, it's good. I'm proud of myself, but I don't use it to pay. It can't pay the bills. Like being a writer is like one of those things that it barely pays the bills for people that are even like really famous. Like you have to be like Stephen King or like J.K. Rowling or somebody to really pay your bills. So if you could let go of the concept that being a success is about money, maybe you could still like just.
It's not about money. You both are misunderstanding what I'm saying. It's not about money.
Well, you didn't pick a lot of money, but I don't think, I mean, it's unlikely that being a writer.
I know people that make a living as a comedian. That's what I want to be.
Okay. So if playing devil's advocate here,
please,
if everyone in your life says you should just stop, you should move on. Don't do comedy anymore. You tried A for effort, blah, blah, whatever.
Oh, they're not, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So let's say they were. Would you still stand by this truth of I am a comedian if no one else in the world supported you?
Yes.
Okay. So then.
What we're trying to say is you're already a comedian. You just don't have 40 grand. Like the material part of it may never come true.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is, there's two things here. One, I've almost quit a couple times. And what prevents me is going on stage after or before a comedian that is making a living, even some that are making millions of dollars, and blowing them off the stage because I was good. And I was like, well, I'm that good. I should keep doing this. People want to hear this and people will respond to it. Two, I mean, that's what's happened, and I just forgot to. Oh my God, I'm so tired. I was going to tell you the story. Everybody knows the story. Marissa knows the story, I'm sure, because she did it herself. When Jim Carrey was living in a van, he wrote himself a check for $10 million, postdated 10 years from that date. And that year is when he got Dumb and Dumber and The Mask and he got $10 million. And Marissa did the same thing. She wrote herself a check for $20,000 and got it twice.
It works sometimes. But so for you.
It just doesn't work for me is what you're saying.
It's just you. Just take each moment literally as it comes in the now.
Mm-hmm.
Because. Who knows? I don't know who this episode's going to reach. You guys don't know who this episode's going to reach. It could reach someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who does whatever in this and that and gets you in front of the right people. So whether it's this that's business business centered, focused, or going to the grocery store. Just being present. You never know where you can end up. If you're present, you're going to end up in the right spot. Once again, we all want it to be yesterday. We want it to be tomorrow. We're ready for it right now. But does it really matter if it happens now or 3 months from now or 3 years from now? The mind will say yes. The mind will say, well, I need to pay my rent at the end of the month, so whatever. But ultimately, it doesn't matter when. Why it's so hard is because time here is so linear. And so you have to get your mind out of the linear thinking. If I do this, then this happens. You just have to be ready and aware of the now, so that if you get a call, we got a fucking Netflix special. I don't know. You know?
Okay. Well,
you're ready.
I'm putting that out in the universe. Anyway, we got to lighten up. This was like weird design energy. What happened? What happened the last 15 minutes? That was so crazy.
I thought it was great.
Is it just me or was there some weird energy going around?
I feel it. I thought it was good. So if you think it's weird, once again, I think it's neutral.
Well, for me, good is usually weird. So I'm not used to it. But yeah, this is the lighter side of the dark side. So I want to end on this, and I could talk to you all day. You've been a delight, but I got to tell you, because I did notice on your website, I did scour it, and I noticed that you did have you did do some studies in sexuality, which I'm sure your husband is very happy about. But we're going to talk about love.
Yeah.
And that, because, you know, everybody comes to you. They want money. They want love.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you know, when I have had, and maybe I should defer this to Nicole, but when I have felt good about myself, and this is where I really feel the law of attraction, really, I have seen it myself. When I have thought great about myself, when I put out positive energy, then people are attracted to me. Mostly guys, but people are attracted to me. And you know, Nicole see me where I have just had a black cloud over my head and I felt just horrendous. And I'm not attracting anything. And I know it. I know it myself. I just consciously can't do anything about it. So for everybody who wants to find love in the new year, what would be your suggestion?
Well, it all starts with you. So you can't, once again, you definitely can't change anyone. So if you're already dating someone and you want to change them, that's not going to happen.
Was there anything about your husband you wanted to change? Be honest.
Of course there's things like, oh, I wish there was a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But once again, that's the mind preferring one thing over the other. And if everything's neutral, if everything's perfect, what does it fucking matter? It doesn't. Nothing matters. Nothing's real. So to find love, once again, it's the exact same thing. Just be present. I was on, you know, all the dating apps, doing this, doing that, went zero places, found no one. And then here I am one day just at the gym like I am always. And that's when I met him. But I had come to a place within myself to where I was like, okay, I want to be respected. I want to be treated well. I want certain things. Like, I know I'm deserving of this. And, you know, I thought I was going to die a spinster at 24. So
what? Come
23.
On.
I think I was 23. I was so young, you know, but it just, you know, everyone else was in relationships. I felt all of these things.
With all the guys hitting on you at the office, come on. Seriously.
That's words. Doesn't mean anything. But we all think at times, you know, no one's going to love me. I'm going to die alone. Or, you know, I get all this attention, but where's the substance? It's when you let go of, like, I need to go out to the bar and find someone tonight. I need to go do it tonight. What if instead you focus your energy on yourself and just be happy, content, neutral, with yourself right now so that when you meet the right person, you will be aligned to them. Like Nicole said earlier, with aligning to the universe, most often that is shared as in like aligning to your higher self, aligning to good vibes, aligning to a new apartment. But you can align to anything. So like you said, when you're got a black cloud over your head, you're aligned to black cloud. Like we're always in alignment. It's just not, might not be with what you desire. So step one is just being present, being aware with yourself, because, you know, if you're want to find love, but then you don't want to get naked in front of someone, you don't want to kiss anyone, you don't feel comfortable with this, you don't, okay, but no, maybe not now, but maybe later, you know, whatever. I just got to lose 5 pounds before I meet the love of my life, because the love of my life is really going to care if I'm 5 pounds heavier or 5 pounds lighter. Well, then you're not ready to meet the love of your life. So you could have met a possible candidate for your love of your life, but that wasn't aligned. So again, just acceptance with yourself.
You go along with that, Nicole?
What I learned, and even though you don't like the type of guys I'm interested in, I will say this. I always have one. I always have one. The universe always brings me someone that is my type. I'm never alone. And that's not because I don't choose to be. Sometimes I totally choose to be alone. But there's always someone. Like I literally just met someone new to replace the person I lost interest in. And I'm always
this
aligned.
This is what I'm saying. This is why I don't like the guys. You lose interest in them. And there's a reason. They're not interesting.
They're interesting to me. Like I date some of them for a year. Like I've seen talent on Friday. Like, I mean,
they're cute. I'll give you that. But,
they're not interesting to you. They're very interesting to me. I lose interest for other reasons. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with me. But what I was trying to explain to you is I don't have expectations.
Mm-hmm.
If you have expectations, you're going to lose. Like you cannot have expectations.
Because again, it's the expectations are a future projection, and the only thing that is real is now. The mind doesn't know what's going to happen. And like, if you want your partner to check off all of these boxes, sure, you might get someone that does, but then maybe they also have this box check that's like severe bipolar mental illness in the family, or severe heart problems, or, you know, chronic alcoholism to where their liver's destroyed. You know, I don't know. Nothing's bad. Nothing's good. I'm not talking shit about anyone here, to be clear, but you know, you could get everything you want, but then you also could get some more things. So like it doesn't matter what expectations you have, because whatever you need, you're going to get. If you need to date, not that you are, but if you need to date another shitty guy to realize, okay, I'm dating shitty guys, then you're going to date another shitty guy to have that be brought to your awareness. If you need to be ghosted because you keep, I don't know, doing whatever, then you're going to keep bringing the situation up.
Well, and I learn from each experience, I learn a little bit more about what I'm looking for. And I mean, the reason why I get bored is because I'm just very interesting. Like I do a lot of things. And
this is my point. You're more interesting than the men you're going out with.
But I have met other guys who are interesting, but then things have happened. Like even if you meet someone you have chemistry with, we still live in a universe where we are not in control. We are not in control of this universe and things happen. So that's why you can't have expectations. Like, that's why I don't get upset when things happen. I'm like, well, that just wasn't the right one for me. That's how I feel.
But you have future projected. I know you have.
No, I don't. I am the person that literally doesn't even want a relationship.
No, I know you say that, but then when you meet a guy you like, you texted me some future projections.
No, that was me going through phases. That isn't true. That's like, okay. That's not real. That's what you're not getting it. Like my expectations are literally every day I'm going to see them. If I have no plans beyond Thursday with this one guy and Friday with this other guy and Tuesday tonight with a different guy, I have no plans. I'm just going to have fun. I date to have fun.
Well, I do too. So anyway, I see the wheels turning in Marissa. She's this whole interaction I could see is just, you're picking up on something.
No, I'm loving the honesty and the candidness and.
Oh, you're going to find out on this show. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
if I was looking for a boyfriend, I would go on a real dating site where they match you with people. And I would put out my resume. Personally, I'm not in a place right now where I would even be technically girlfriend material because I'm still focusing on myself. Mm-hmm. But if I was ready and I'm not ready yet, and I hope to be ready at some point if I am going to have one, because I think about that. I think about when I'm older, I might want one. But right now,
future projection.
That's not about the guy, though. I don't have expectations of the guy. You're not listening to me. You're just seeing things from your own perspective.
But she's also like, I mean, sure, of course, your mind's going to daydream and you're going to do whatever. But like, you're not making your whole current reality revolve around something.
Exactly. I don't care if I have one right now. That's the point. I don't care. And that's probably why I'm attracting them. And I am attracting ones that are just fun because that's what I'm in alignment with. And I know that. Mm-hmm. But that's all I'm looking for right now.
Okay. Marissa, how do I become a fuckboy too? Or how does that happen?
What are your expectations? Because you have to be in alignment with what you want.
How do I align with being a fuckboy? That's what I want to know. Let's get that.
Well, a fuckboy, I think, is like a derogatory term. So I don't know if you necessarily want to be a fuckboy or a friends with benefit, if that's where you're going.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I don't. No, I'm not hitting on Nicole. That's not. No. You're totally misunderstanding that.
No, I just mean in general, like a casual.
In general. Hookup, and trust me, fuckboys get more respect than friends with benefits. Trust me on this.
Yeah, but it's like, those are the guys that I'm like, you're a fucking stupid piece of shit. Well,
those are the guys
you can talk shit to. So.
I want to be a stupid piece of shit. Help me align with that.
I don't know. It's just BDE. That's where that, I think the actual BDE originated from.
Yes.
You just got to have an aura about you that you don't care and you're here for fun. So, yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, Nicole, I hope you find whatever you're looking for, whatever that is.
And well, right now I'm happy. I found someone to replace the fact that the other person was too busy. So we'll see how it goes. So there was a guy, I'm not going to say his name because he might watch this and like flip out that he's been mentioned.
Right. It's not the guy you just mentioned a few minutes ago that
Talon's not going to watch this, and I don't care if Talon knows I like him. He knows I like him.
Okay.
Talon is now living in another state and has a child. It's a whole different life for him.
Right.
That was a long time ago. That was a year. Mm-hmm. That was in 2021.
Right.
That blew its course.
Like centuries ago.
But ancient that's history. What I was saying. And in 2020, I was seeing someone else. And I saw this person for a year. So even though I'm casual, I do form connections with these people. I just don't have expectations. I literally have no expectations beyond the next day that I see them. And that is one expectation I do have, is that you fucking show up. And when you don't show up, then I look for someone new.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like
that. Mark, what are you looking for in love?
What am I looking for in love? Well, yeah. I'm looking for a woman that says yes. That'd be one good thing. It's been a while since I've had that. But no, you know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for an intelligent, unusual woman. Somebody that stimulates me mentally as well as physically. Somebody that, I can get lost with, and somebody that I can have adventures with.
How are you trying to?
Somebody extraordinary.
Find them. Like,
I'm asking them out and they're saying no.
But like, where are you asking them out? Like,
anytime I come across somebody extraordinary, I talk to them.
Because I met my husband at the gym, so it was just like a natural place where I like to go, and I wanted someone who was similar. So like, what if you went to places you like? without expectation of meeting anyone.
I do.
But you're just there. You're chilling. You're good. You got the BDE or the ADBCE, whatever.
Right, right.
And then they'll come.
They don't.
Not yet. Yeah.
That's a big thing, Mark.
If you always think in the back of your head, no, they don't come.
Well, no, because I can't.
They're not going to come.
This is, and I don't mean to be so binary, but this is the advice I get from everyone. Just don't think about it. It'll happen. They'll come to you, and it doesn't happen.
Because you're thinking about it.
No. When I don't think about it, it doesn't happen either.
I mean, whenever you're supposed to meet someone, you're going to meet them.
Right. Oh, I understand.
That's all I can give you.
And I look forward to that nursing home romance when I get that. Yeah. Anyway, Marissa, it's been a delight. Thank you for dealing with all my neuroses and all my questions. And I think you're great. And I love your podcast. And I think your program, this happens every week. This is like a new webcam, and I keep disappearing, and I don't want to turn off the background because there we go. Okay, see, this is the energy. See, I'm astral projecting right now. What's happening? I don't know what's happening.
You're here, you're there, you're everywhere.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. But I've loved listening to your podcast. I've gotten a lot of good things out of it, and I think your program's terrific. How do women get a hold of you and get their own BDE?
Yeah, so I'm basically Marissa Nicole everywhere, if not marissanicole.co, which is my website. And if you want more information, if you have questions, you can shoot me an email, Instagram. I'm on the most. I'm not on that often anymore. Or just book a time and we can do a little chat like this. And
it's not quite like this, but yes, I understand.
A little similar to it. We touched on that for a minute there. You know, just to see where you're at and if you are ready to dive into the unknown, let go of your mind and all of the fun things.
Then this is the program for you.
Yes.
As you say on your podcast.
If you know, you know.
Exactly. You know? And Nicole manifested her poetry book last year, Slow Burn.
Ooh, congratulations.
Yeah. And tell people how they can order that and how they can get a hold of you.
Well, I am at Nicole Six Books on Instagram or Nicole H Six on Facebook. And the link to my poetry book is in my bio.
And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. It does say comedian in my bio on all social media. So I guess I am a comedian. And everybody. And everybody have a wonderfully creepy week, and I hope you manifest everything you want in 2023. Bye.
Bye.